Akshay, did you always knew what you wanted to do when you passed out from MBA?
I was all over the place. Saurabh, what about you?
Yaar, mere ko to tab bhi idea nahi tha, aaj bhi idea nahi hai.
Confused about your career choices? Wondering what steps to take next? In this podcast called Beyond Campus, Saurabh Garg, founder of C4E, and Akshay Dutt, founder of Unnati, are on a mission to crack open the career success code for the youth. वो बचपन में कहते थे ना, तुम जो चाहे बन सकते हो. So, let's turn the dream into reality.
Hi, I'm Hitesh Chhingra. I'm founder of The Man Company, a leading premium grooming essential brand for men.
Long gone are the days when the men in the house only kept a toothbrush and a comb besides their mirrors and considered it their essentials. But now, those slick black hair, that perfectly trimmed beard and that ecstatic cologne, it's simply what every guy needs to make him stand out. Wish to know who curated the brand that brings out the gentleman in a guy? In 2015, Hitesh Dhingra found The Man Company, a premium grooming essential brand that has made a bold mark in the shortest time. My boys, it's a story you don't want to miss. Fasten your seatbelts and get ready to hear Hitesh talking about how it all started.
So Hitesh, the first thing which we want to understand, entrepreneurship ka keeda wo inborn hota hai, matlab bachpan se hi uske signs dikhte hain, or is it something which you kind of accidentally get into, or you know, so is it by design or is it by accident, and do you remember about your childhood and if there were signs of it?
Well, I think बचपन से ऑब्वियसली आई नेवर थॉट दैट आई विल बी एन एंटरप्रेन्योर. आई वांटेड टू बी अ पायलट व्हाइल ग्रोइंग अप, सो टुक नॉन मेड एंड ऑल द स्टफ. बट देन आई ऑलवेज सॉ माय पेरेंट्स. सो माय मदर हैज़ बीन अ बैंकर फॉर ऑलमोस्ट 40-45 इयर्स. माय फादर वाज वर्किंग विद इफको इन एन मार्केटिंग डिपार्टमेंट, और सो उनको दोनों को देखा कि कुछ ना कुछ दे यूज टू प्लान, आई मीन बी इट इन रियल एस्टेट. और एक बार मुझे याद है, आई थिंक आई मस्ट बी व्हाट 8-10 ईयर ओल्ड, एंड दे वर प्लानिंग टू सेट अप अ फैक्ट्री टू मैन्युफैक्चर पेन्स, राइट? सो दे वर डूइंग लॉट ऑफ R&D एटसेट्रा. बट बियॉन्ड दैट आई नेवर थॉट ऑनेस्टली दैट आई विल बी एन एंटरप्रेन्योर. तो जब मैं MBA कर रहा था, तो उस टाइम आई थिंक आई गॉट सुपर एक्साइटेड कि कुछ अपना स्टार्ट करूंगा, और अगर नहीं भी करूंगा तो आई वॉज सुपर एक्साइटेड बाय द स्टार्टअप इकोसिस्टम एज वेल, एटलीस्ट, राइट? सो मुझे था, एक हमारी कैंपस में कुछ ऑलमा मैथर्स थे हमारे, उन्होंने स्टार्ट की थी एक स्टार्टअप कॉल्ड ईसेस. सो विद इन 4 years दे बिकेम अ $1 billion रेवेन्यू बिजनेस, ऑपरेटिंग इन 30-35 कंट्रीज. सो आई वॉज सुपर एक्साइटेड टू सी देयर ग्रोथ चार्ट, राइट? एंड वहाँ से मुझे लगता है कि एक कीड़ा आया कि यार, यह तो ऐसी कंपनी में काम करना है जहाँ पे लर्निंग हो अच्छी और इतनी फास्ट ग्रोथ हो, या अपनी कोई ऐसी कंपनी खड़ी करनी है. बट आई थिंक इन माई माइंड आई न्यू माई लिमिटेशंस. मुझे पता था कि माई पेरेंट्स वोंट बी एबल टू फंड माई प्रोजेक्ट, और अभी मुझे एटलीस्ट आई नीड टू अर्न, पे देम बैक, एंड देन प्रॉब्ली ओवर अ पीरियड ऑफ टाइम स्टार्ट समथिंग ऑन माई ओन. सो आई थिंक वहाँ से थोड़ा कीड़ा आना शुरू हुआ, एंड इट टुक मी ऑलमोस्ट 3-4 years टू काइंड ऑफ टेक माई फर्स्ट लीप इन टू स्टार्टअप वर्ल्ड.
So from campus you joined ESIS. So tell me about that journey.
So ESIS was the, I still remember, 13th company to visit the campus, right? And I didn't appear for first 12 companies because I wanted to give my 100% and join ESIS. I was, I think, too excited by their journey, and especially knowing that all the founders were from my MBA school. So I waited for that company. Fortunately, I went through. I got a job, joined them in June 2004 in their Delhi office. But within a month and a half, they decided to move me to Singapore, which was their headquarters. तो सिंगापुर में मेरा काफ़ी अच्छा एक्सपीरियंस रहा. कुछ आई थिंक 60-70 पीपल वर वर्किंग इन दैट हेडक्वार्टर, एंड आई हैड टू इंटरेक्ट विद ऑलमोस्ट ऑल ऑफ देम ऑन डेली बेसिस. सो चाहे वो फाइनेंस हो या टेक हो. सो ESIS वॉज अ IT डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन कंपनी, एंड दैट टाइम दे वर वर्किंग ऑन अ प्रोजेक्ट टू लॉन्च देयर प्राइवेट लेबल, राइट? डेस्कटॉप एंड लैपटॉप्स. तो मेरी ट्रेनिंग ऐसी हुई कि मतलब आई even learned how to assemble a laptop or a desktop, right? और first जो project था वो मैंने खुद, मतलब चार बंदों के साथ, factory छोटी सी setup करके basement में, I assembled 50 laptops and we kind of supplied it to a retailer in UK. So I think I had an amazing experience there. I was working very closely with the founders, the CEO. And I think that kind of laid foundation of getting into entrepreneurship. So I could understand that emotional roller coaster ride that he was going through because working closely with them. And that kind of prepared me, right? And jo wo keeda MBA ke dino shuru hua tha, I think that started booming, right? So that started giving me courage ki yaar, now I think I can probably take a risk of getting it full time into entrepreneurship.
So what happened say around 2006?
Yeah, so 2006, I had to move back to India for personal reasons. My father was really unwell. Or one of my friends from my college days, he was starting an online advertising agency called Quaza Media. So they just started it. So he started it with his boss, Manish Vich. And he mentioned about it. I got excited because ek to online advertising and plus a startup. So mujhe laga ki yaar India aane, instead of looking for a job, I had a bit of saving ki Singapore mein ek do saal kaam karke. So I was like, let me give it a try for 6 months and let's see. So I joined them as a founding member. So wahan pe, I was managing a lot of affiliate marketing. I didn't know anything about online advertising. So for first 3-4 months, I just learned how it works, how Google makes money. So I did a lot of affiliate marketing for hotel.com, booking.com, just to understand the ecosystem here. ROI कैसे होता है, CAC कैसे होता है, LTV कैसे होता है, etc. And I think, so that's when we decided that we can probably set up, we wanted to set up a contextual advertising network in India. And I took the lead and started Tyru, which still exists. So it's an online advertising network.
So just, you know, in simple language, what is a contextual advertising network?
So contextual advertising means, let's say, as a brand, as a men's grooming brand, we identify, let's say, 100 keywords. Could be grooming, could be beard growth, right? Anti-dandruff. I mean, we identify 100 keywords. And as a brand, I would like to show my ad to wherever these keywords appear. Right. So we, as a ad network, hum logo ne publisher ka ek pool banaya. Right. So we had more than 1,000 publishers, including bloggers. Aur dusri taraf, it was a self-serving, right? So humne advertisers ko target karna shuru kiya ki you identify the keywords. Aap humara tool use karke simple text ad banao. Aur jahan jahan ye keywords show ho rahe hai, koi bhi article hai, let's say dandruff ke baare mein ya beard growth ke baare mein, your ad will show up there. Right, so it is exactly the same way like what Google does, right? But us time kyunki Google nahi tha market mein, so we thought we could be the first one to kind of lead the way, and especially targeting SMEs, educating them. So that's what we did.
Okay, so then what next?
I think after working with Tyru for almost 1.5-2 years, one day I met my boss from ESIS, right? And I met him to pitch Tyru for their business. और बातों में उसने मेंशन किया कि यार ई कॉमर्स यूएस में इज बूमिंग लाइक एनीथिंग. उस टाइम आई थिंक ई बायर और 2-3 dapps.com, सो दीज वर फ्यू ई कॉमर्स कंपनीज फोकसिंग ऑन इलेक्ट्रॉनिक्स. सो ही सेड व्हाई डोंट यू हेल्प अस इन सेटिंग अप आर ई कॉमर्स. हम लोगों का 30-35 कंट्रीज में ऑपरेशंस है, सो वी कैन डू इट टुगेदर. So ended up joining back ESIS to help them in setting up their e-commerce. So we started with Singapore because it was headquartered and small country. So we were kind of the first e-commerce site after Dell in Singapore too. So this was in 2006, 2007. And so I obviously helped them in setting things up there. Then India mein humne Cafe Gadgets ke naam se launch kiya. So we launched e-commerce in 7 countries, and in couple of countries it started doing well. So India, Singapore, Malaysia, it started doing really well. Ran it for almost 3-3.5 years, but then ESIS got into bad shape. I think they had some legal issue with one of their partners, or uski wajah se their complete working capital got blocked. And they decided to just focus on their core business. And that also, I think they started, I mean, packing up in a lot of countries. So as a result, obviously, I mean, we had to shut down that business within ESIS. But because I was too confident about e-commerce opportunity in India, I thought, I mean, this was more of an accident, but I thought this could be the right time to continue the momentum and start something on my own. So that's what I think gave me an idea for Let's Buy. So launched Let's Buy in 2009, July.
So what was the original idea with which you launched Let's Buy and how did it evolve?
So Let's Buy launch karne se pehle, I think India mein jo e-commerce ka ecosystem tha. So there were few sites like eBay, India Time Shopping, India Plaza. But all of them were marketplaces, right? So especially jab aap electronics lete ho, jaise mobile phone, laptops, these are expensive buy, right? So you want to be sure ki warranty ho, original ho, proper packaging mein ho, sab kuch ho. But because existing platform were marketplaces, they never had any control over the inventory, ki what is being sold. So BlackBerry ke phones bikte the, lekin wo open bikte the without warranty, right? So there were a lot of customer issues. So Let's Buy ka idea ye tha ki we will work directly with the brand owners or their authorized distributors, right? So we won't really become a marketplace. So it was more of a stock and sell model. Ki we used to get the order. We used to either procure it from, let's say, Samsung or their distributor and then ship it to the customer. But every product was going through our warehouse, right? Which made sure ki quality hai, warranty hai, seal pack hai, product proper hai. So that's what we did. And we started working with, I think it required a lot of effort because we, us time kisi bhi company ka mandate nahi hota tha e-commerce ka, right? So it was just like theek hai yaar, US mein abhi thoda bahut hua hai, India mein itna nahi hai. So we had to convince a lot of these players to give us some exclusive products. So I remember jab Samsung ne Corby launch kiya tha, which was their first smartphone. So we ran a pre-order on Let's Buy and it was a huge success. So after that, Samsung also kind of got confidence ki yaar, theek hai, kuch kar sakte hain. So that's how we started. And I think we kind of bootstrapped it for 1.5 years. After that, obviously, we raised our first round and I think grew from 70 lakhs a month to almost 28-30 crores a month within a span of 12 months.
So when you started Let's Buy in 2008, I imagine at that time, none of the ecosystem would have existed the way it exists today, be it payment gateway, be it logistics support. So how did you manage all these challenges and, you know, what were like the key takeaways from it?
Yeah, no, I still remember our website was about to launch, right? So we had a launch date, I think somewhere in August 2009. But payment gateway was still not integrated because ICICI was taking time, right? So I had to sit at their office for 2 days just to get the payment gateway up, right? And I pleaded with them, Kiar, we have a deadline, we have to go live, because there were some commitments made to some of the partners like Samsung, Microsoft, etc. And after sitting at their office for almost 10 hours a day for 2 days, I managed to get the payment gateway up. Even logistics, I still remember that time I used to stay in Kirti Nagar, West Delhi, and our office was in Patel Nagar. So any order from West Delhi, I used to carry it in my car and kind of deliver it. So I think that's what we did. What really worked well for us, and it was kind of blessing in disguise, because we were bootstrapping, I didn't have much salary to pay. I ended up hiring a lot of people, management trainee from tier 2 MBA institutes like Amity, APJ, etc. Right? And these guys, I mean, they didn't have any ego. I mean, they wanted to work, they wanted to learn. I could mold them the way I wanted. And they were working for 12, 15 hours a day, right? So it was a small team of 12, 13 people, but I think they were giving it all, right? And that really worked for us as a bootstrap company. I think that was probably the wisest decision I made, to hire freshers from a tier 2 institutes. And I think even after that, I mean, in my all my ventures, I made sure that I continue to do that. So we don't prefer people from IITs. We give priority to people from tier 2 institutes who are more hungry, right? And who don't have... So they will not probably switch job for a few thousand or few lakhs, right? If you're from IIMs, you have an opportunity cost. So if startup is not doing well, it is first the people from tier 1 institute who start looking out for a job because they have a good opportunity cost. So
I want to understand more how you bootstrapped an e-commerce company. I mean, e-commerce companies need a lot of capital for customer acquisition and so on. So how did you manage to get customers? How did you manage to build up your order pipeline?
Yeah. So आई थिंक काश ये पता होता उस टाइम बिकॉज कैफे गैजेस भी वी वर नॉट बर्निंग मच कैपिटल. सो व्हेन वी स्टार्टेड लेट्स बाय फॉर फर्स्ट 1.5 ईयर्स वी वर एक्चुअली प्रॉफिटेबल राइट. सो अगर हम 70-80 लाख का महीने का बिजनेस करते थे तो उसमें 7-8 लाख रुपए हमारा प्रॉफिट आता था विच गोज बैक टू ऑब्वियसली सैलरी एंड अदर एक्सपेंसेस बट वी वर नॉट रियली ब्लीडिंग राइट. बट देन ऑब्वियसली we realize over a period of time here if you have to scale up then obviously the acquisition cost goes up because then you need to advertise you need to offer discounts and that's a never ending story right. So even today I mean none of the e-commerce player is profitable because they keep burning money right. But that time I think I was running it more as a business right and I was very very particular that we don't bleed while scaling up. So for, I think before we raised Series A, we were kind of profitable.
So tell us about the funding journey. How did that happen?
So it was an interesting thing. So I think before Let's Buy, I never interacted with a VC. I think it was somewhere in 2010, June, I got a cold call from this VC saying ki I am an investor in Make My Trip and I've recently invested in Flipkart. And now I'm looking for an e-commerce venture in electronics space. And I would be interested to meet up with you. And I'm planning to travel to India in a couple of weeks. So I would love to catch up with you. And that call was from Lee Fixell, right? So that time with Tiger Global. So he visited us. He really liked what we were doing, but he thought that we are too small for him. So he had introduced us to Axel. Right. So Prashant and Subrato at Excel. And in parallel, so Manish, who was my ex-boss, so he had angel invested in Let's Buy. So he, through his connection, introduced us to Hillion. So we were talking to both Hillion and Excel, and both of them decided to kind of write a check, Series A, 4 odd million in Let's Buy. And over a period of time, because business was scaling up month on month, so Tiger also decided to write a 2 million check. So our Series A, we concluded in December 2010, and it was 6 million from Tiger, Hillion, Axel, all three of them participating equally. So that's when Amanpreet joined on board. So Amanpreet and I were college mates, and that time he was working with E&Y, just got married, so he was a bit hesitant to join a startup. A pre-funding stage, so he decided to join once we got a term sheet signed from all the investors. And I think 2011 was a great year for Let's Buy. I mean, we grew from 70-75 lakhs monthly revenue to almost 28-29 crore monthly revenue.
In one year.
Wow. From 12-13 people team to almost 450 people team, so hired more than a person a day. We were probably the most covered e-commerce startup in that particular year, right? So I think we were doing exceptionally well, but then obviously we were burning a lot more capital as well. But just because business was doing well, there was a lot of inbound interest from private equity and VCs to participate in the round. So in fact, we kind of signed the term sheet with three new investors, three existing investors.
When was this?
This was in 2011. July, August time. And it was supposed to be a $42.5 million round at a $120-130 million pre-valuation. So it was a good jump from where we were a year back. And three marquee investors, right? But then one of the investors wanted us to kind of shift our base from India to Singapore because they had a global mandate whatsoever. And that consumed almost 3 months time period, right? And even though they had given us the first tranche of 6 million because it was a Diwali period and we really needed working capital, but because it took 3 months, aur us 3 mahine mein kya hua China mein, so this particular VC had invested in a similar e-commerce company in China. Aur usne kuch $5 billion ki valuation pe $100 million dale the. And within 3 weeks, or a month, the valuation went down to $2.5 billion, right? So China mein e-commerce companies started facing this headwind, right? As a result, this VC decided to kind of pull off from their investment in Let's Buy. And they pulled off from a lot of e-commerce investments during that period in India, right? And because he was a marquee investor, so obviously the other investors also got jittery, right? Or so we were going through a very, I think, stressful phase at that point in time. And Lee was traveling to India, so I still remember meeting. So they had a Flipkart board meeting in Delhi. So Lee and Prashant, so we met him at Leela Chanakyapuri, both me, Amanpreet, and even I think Manish was there. And Lee mentioned that, why don't you talk to Sachin and Bini? They're traveling to Delhi. And it could be an interesting proposition for you guys as well. And they also had mentioned to Lee somewhere back in time that we would be interested in evaluating acquisition of Let's Buy. So
Flipkart was already into electronics?
So that time they just got into electronics and we were kind of neck to neck in terms of numbers. So immediately after that meeting, we went to meet Sachin and Bini. We had a dinner with them. So I think after an hour-long meeting, we kind of decided this could be the right option, right? So it didn't take much time. So from that meeting, I think within a week's time, everything was kind of close in terms of valuation, in terms of agreement, everything. So that was a completely roller coaster ride, because from bootstrap to probably 150 crore revenue run rate to kind of selling off the company, right? So it was a good learning experience. I mean, 2.5-3 years.
What were the lessons from the exit? And there are a lot of cases where most founders are not happy with post-exit scenarios. The commitments are not lived up to. Did something like that happen here, or, you know, was it all smooth?
No, I think it was all smooth. Look, so what we realized was, obviously, I think there's always a hope ki yaar thodi valuation better hoti, thoda aur mil jata. So for example, I think we decided ki yaar, me and Amanpreet, because that time Flipkart was kind of valued at $1 billion. So humne decide kiya ki yaar, let's cash out. Because one of our existing investor said ki yaar, already valuation bahut zyada hai, toh better to cash out. Now, the existing investors, they didn't have an option to cash out. So they was invested in Flipkart. And Hillion, after I think 2-3 years, exited at 150 crores, right? So from what they invested in Let's Buy. So you never know. I think there's always a scope. But then I think for a first venture, it was a decent exit for both me and Amanpreet. And I think more than the cash amount, I think it was immense learning, right? And I think as an individual, obviously, I mean, we realize the importance of having a co-founder, having a solid board, having a mentor like Manish, right? So I think there was immense learning for us. Baki valuation ka, obviously, I mean, year down the line, Myntra got acquired, similar numbers, but valuation was almost $300 million, right? And they raised a lot more capital than Let's Buy at that point in time. So you never know about these things, because then there was, on other side, there was Ye Bhi, right? Again, had raised a lot more capital than Let's Buy or even Fashion & You. And they got shut down without any acquisition or any value for the stakeholders, right? So at least I think the biggest satisfaction we had was that we could deliver good returns for the investors, all the stakeholders. And obviously the founders and the core team, I mean, of 12, 13 people, the initial members, they also made some money.
So this was around 2011.
This was 2012 early.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then 2012, you have a big chunk of cash with you post the exit. What did you do after that?
So I got the cash after 6 months. Okay. because there was a financial due diligence and audit and everything. But I took a sabbatical. I took a year-long sabbatical because didn't really want to
rush. Did your lifestyle change post that, since, you know, obviously?
Oh, yes. Because I think when we were running Let's Buy, both me and Aman were spending almost 14, 15 hours a day at office, right? So there were, I think every week, there were days when we were leaving office at 1:30. 2 o'clock in the night and back at 8 o'clock in the morning, right? And our office was in South Delhi, and both of us used to stay in West Delhi. So jab tak chala rahe the, tab tak realize nahi hua, but after the deal, we realized that we were also burning out, right? Doing it consistently and at the scale that we grew, I think it was kind of hampering our health and mental peace as well. So it took a sabbatical. I think traveled to at least 10-12 countries in that 1 year, some with family, some without family as well, because my wife that time was working. So that gave me a lot of time to think about my next venture. I started meeting people. I mean, started meeting my investor friends, my fellow entrepreneurs. And I think that kind of obviously helped me in clearing my thoughts, clearing my mind in terms of what I do want to do next. That in that phase, I ended up meeting Sachin Bhatia. So Sachin was a co-founder of Make My Trip. So he had also exited at that point in time. He was looking for his next 10. So hum dono ne baith ke, we started evaluating a few business models and realized that matchmaking is one model which hasn't been disrupted in last 10, 15 years. So that gave us an idea about Truly Madly, launching Truly Madly. Yeah, so Rahul that time was leading a product for Make My Trip. So we decided to kind of incubate Truly Madly with Rahul leading it. On the other side, I met Parvesh. So Parvesh is my family friend and now co-founder of the Man Company. So he has been in this business of manufacturing and packaging of beauty and cosmetics products for almost last 20 years. So when I started meeting him, discussing with him, so the gross margin in this category kind of excited me. So in electronics, we were working at 10-12%, and here you work at 70-80% gross margins, right? So I thought there could be some interesting game here as well. So again, got Bhisham, who is my school friend, and he was part of Let's Buy team as well. Got him on board to kind of lead, not the Man Company, but that time we started with the perfume business. So we were buying perfume from Parvesh's company and then obviously selling it online, offline. So just to understand the market, right? So even at that point in time, and we started within the same office. So I was working with both the teams, but I was not really full-time involved with either of them. So once the Truly Madly got launched and we decided to raise capital, so Hillion and K Capital, they came on board, and Hillion wanted me and Sachin to be on board full time. So that's when we decided to get full time on Truly Madly. So ran it for 3 years.
So tell me more about Truly Madly. Why did you decide on a dating site for India when, you know, the traditional mindset is fairly prevalent in India and there were already big players in the matrimonial space? So yeah, what was the thesis?
Yeah, so I think thesis was very simple. That time, I mean, obviously there was Shaadi, Bharat Matrimony, Jeevan Saathi, all doing well. But they were primarily desktop-focused matchmaking site. And especially in case of girls, it was mostly the parents who were managing profile of girls on these sites, right? And whereas I think the ecosystem had evolved, right? So a lot of women want to take control of their own life, at least when it comes to choosing a right partner. So we thought it could be the right time to build something which is slightly before finding a marriage partner, right? I mean, slightly before that, more around serious dating, right? Or a relationship platform where the profiles are authenticated, right? So we had a social plugin to verify each and every profile, right? Which kind of gives credibility to the platform and women feel secure because they know that all the profiles are kind of verified on this platform, right? So we used to reject almost 10-15% profile because they were fake. So there was a team, I mean, kind of verifying each and every profile. So we realized that if we provide this safe environment, if we make it more relationship oriented, which is beyond caste, creed, etc., it could be relevant for today's times. So first 2.5 years, Truly Madly did really well. We ended up getting almost 500,000 database with a healthy men's to women ratio, because I think that was the biggest challenge for any matchmaking or dating site in India. There were 90-95% men and 5-7% women. So I think we at least ended up getting 70-30 ratio, right? So in that sense, the engagement rate was pretty high, and we ended up creating a great brand around it.
What was the revenue model?
So that time, I think for first 2-2.5 years, it was only advertising, right? So we didn't really have subscription. I mean, we wanted to add subscription once we cross 1 million database. So I think we ended up creating a great brand. But then obviously Tinder launched in India to kind of, they barge into our party. I mean, spoil the game in a way, right? Spending heavily on Bollywood, etc., getting a lot of celebs on board. And I think the virality around Tinder was way too high, right? Especially in metros. So we realized that probably we were underestimating the demographics. I think people were comfortable in even hooking up, right? And we were, I think, in our mind, still, I think, wanted to create a safe haven for, especially girls when it comes to finding someone. So wo thoda, Tinder kind of disrupted the market for us, right? And we couldn't really raise the next round because I think everyone started comparing the numbers with the Tinder numbers without really looking at the engagement metrics or the brand authenticity. Right. So, truly, Madly is still doing well, but I think we realized that probably the scale that we were envisioning was kind of far-fetched. All three of us realized that I think scale is not exciting for us to be on full-time. So, we ended up getting 25, 30-year-olds to kind of run the show. And all of us are now, obviously, I mean, ventured out into something else. So, I've been running Man Company for the last 4 years. Sachin started a company called Bulbul, which is video shopping. And Rahul has got into healthcare insurance space. So he'll be launching his product soon.
Okay. So tell us about the Man Company journey. And, you already gave us a little bit of background about how you started a perfume business. So just expand from there. So what happened?
Yeah, so I think when we started perfume business, so we were trying to sell it online and offline. Or both me and Bhisham kind of traveled from Jammu to Kanyakumari just to understand the offline channel space as well. So hum log thoda mass premium category mein jaane ki koshish kar rahe the because agar aap perfume bhi dekhen to ya to bilkul mass brands hain ya fir you have luxury perfumes, right, which you get it at airport or modern trade. So we wanted to launch something in mass premium space. But wahan pe hame ye samajh aaya ki yaar offline mein jo jitne bhi distributors hain, it is very difficult to kind of change their mindset. Unko pata hai ki yaar 100 rupaye ka hi perfume bikta hai, 100 rupaye mein mujhe 25 rupaye hi chahiye. Agar aap 100 ki jagah aap 200 rupaye ka bhi unko perfume doge, to they'll not accept it. Ki kaun khareedega, right? So unless you have a strong pull for the brand, it's very difficult to crack offline distribution in India. So I think that gave us insight ki yaar offline to chalo abhi ho hi nahi sakta. That is, I mean, we don't have learning, we understand e-commerce better. Let's focus only on e-commerce. Now, if we had to focus only on e-commerce, just selling perfume, it was going to be very, very niche, right? So we had to obviously broaden up the category. So us time, I started traveling with Parvesh to different exhibitions. Ek Cosmoprof hoti hai Bologna mein in Italy and then Hong Kong. Then there were a few exhibitions in Turkey, Dubai. So wahan pe I realized ki yaar, I traveled with him for 2 years. I mean, some 6-7 exhibitions. And with every exhibition, I realized ki yaar, first exhibition mein, probably there was one brand Korea se jo ki men's grooming bech raha tha. But everything else was focused on women. So no one was even talking about men. But over a period of 1-1.5 years, I realized that the percentage of men's cosmetics or grooming companies were kind of increasing. I mean, still not substantial. I think phir bhi wo 95.5% hi hoga. But then at least they were increasing, right?
And this was while Truly Madly was, you were still running that in parallel? You did this or this was after?
No. This was before me getting into Truly Madly. So, wo matlab back of the mind, because we knew ki yaar ye perfume hum kar rahe hain, to saath mein kya kya kar sakte hain. So, obviously, so I think, but we were not convinced. कि मेंस ग्रूमिंग इंडिया में क्योंकि बड़ी एफएमसीजी कंपनीज हैं तो क्या करेंगे क्या नहीं करेंगे. सो व्हेन आई डिसाइडेड टू काइंड ऑफ मूव ऑन फ्रॉम ट्रूली मैडली, आई स्टार्टेड स्पेंडिंग लॉट मोर टाइम विद द टीम हियर विदाउट कमिटिंग कि यार मतलब आई विल कम फुल टाइम ऑन बोर्ड. बट एटलीस्ट आई स्टार्टेड वर्किंग वेरी क्लोजली विद भीषम टू फिगर आउट द स्ट्रेटजी कि यार क्या करना चाहिए क्या नहीं करना चाहिए. एंड तब मतलब ये रियलाइज कि यार premium men's grooming essential could be one space. It was still very, very niche, but it was a risk worth taking up. Because ek to koi brand nahi tha India mein, jo ki pura head-to-toe, matlab targeting only men, kisi ke paas range ho. There were few brands selling deodorants, few brands selling whitening creams, or talcum powders, or shaving, but no one was catering to complete head-to-toe range. Second, a buying decision was primarily taken by women of the house. Right. So, वो grocery के लिए कोई अगर गए, be it your wife or mother, they used to buy products. And you end up using the same soap, same body wash, same shampoo that your wife or sister or anyone else in the house is using. So, we realized कि यार convenience could be one factor. So, if we launch the website using a lot of content, which becomes like a grooming buddy for you, कि यार आपको, let's say dandruff हो रही है, you just search and see कि यार ये चीजें मेरे को करनी हैं, be it the lifestyle changes, be it the intake of more water, etc. And plus, ये apply करना है, और apply करने के लिए there's a man company. So, that was the kind of strategy and vision that we came up with. Or so yeah, so that was the reason. So then we started working on the product, ki product kya hone chahiye. So we obviously realized ki ek to packaging should be Instagram friendly, ki agar hum online hi brand build kar rahe hain, so people should, because men generally don't share anything, right, about what they are using, especially when it comes to personal care. But we wanted it to be a shareable and get that virality around the brand. So we made the packaging Instagram friendly. We made the ingredient, which were obviously there's a high perception here. It's a good quality product. So we don't use sulfate, paraben. We only use essential oil. So no artificial fragrances, etc. So all those things kind of obviously delivers a right packaging, right product. And even though it looks super premium luxury, but the pricing is still affordable, right? So pricing kind of surprises the customer. And we believe that's been one of the things that really worked in our favor in last 4 years.
Okay. And how has the turnover grown over the years?
We've been growing almost 250 to 300% year on year. So this year, I think we should close at almost 90 odd crores of revenue, right? And if you compare it with last year, we closed at around 22, 23 crores, right? So almost more than 300% growth this year over last year.
Okay. And how to pitch your venture to a VC? Is there a way in which VCs look at pitches? What is the best way to get good quality VCs to back you?
Look, so I think as an entrepreneur, one of the biggest quality you should have is storytelling, right? आप कोई भी बिजनेस कर रहे हो, एज लॉन्ग एज यू हैव अ वेरी क्लियर विजन एंड यू नो हाउ टू कम्युनिकेट दैट विजन, राइट? आई थिंक दैट्स व्हाट मैटर्स, बिकॉज अर्ली स्टेजेस में आप नंबर्स, मतलब हर किसी को पता है कि नंबर्स हर क्वार्टर में चेंज होते हैं, राइट? बट व्हाट आई थिंक वीसीज और एनी एंजल इन्वेस्टर आर लुकिंग फॉर इज क्लैरिटी ऑफ योर विजन एंड योर स्टोरी टेलिंग कैपेबिलिटी, राइट? कि अगर आप ब्रांड बना रहे हो तो कैसा ब्रांड बनाओगे 5 साल में 10 साल में, क्या शेपअप करेगा ब्रांड, एटलीस्ट आई मीन इन टर्म्स ऑफ योर विजन, राइट? फाइनल रिजल्ट क्या हो यू नेवर नो, बट एटलीस्ट इन टर्म्स ऑफ योर विजन यू शुड बी वेरी क्लियर कि यार दिस इज वॉट यू आर ट्राइंग टू अचीव एंड यू नीड टू कन्विंस वीसीज और एनी इन्वेस्टर ऑन योर विजन. आई थिंक दैट इज द बिगेस्ट कैपेबिलिटी यू नीड टू हैव.
So Hitesh, you've always been ahead of the curve in terms of targeting millennials or young early adopters, be it in electronics or dating or now in grooming. So what are your lessons for other founders who may be looking to cater to a similar audience of young early adopters, millennials?
Right. Look, so I think I've realized ki you need to understand your target audience really, really well. Right, especially if you are building a product service for them, you need to know each and everything about them. So I strongly advise everyone to spend a lot of time in understanding your consumer and understanding their need, right? So a lot of times consumer might not be able to tell you ki yaar ye pain point hai ya ye uski need hai, but then that's something that you need to do as an entrepreneur. Right, figure out ki yaar how can you make his life simple, right? How can you kind of remove some of his pain points which he probably doesn't even realize exist, but still I think that's the entrepreneurship job of entrepreneur to figure out. So when I started,
how do you figure these things out? I mean, do you like go and sit with millennials and or?
So let's say when we were starting Man Company, right, both me and Bhisham, I think we did a lot of focus groups, and plus even intuitively, because we knew that this is something where the opportunity exists, right? We started talking to a lot of our friends, family, people in our family, right? And especially in the age group that we were targeting, right? And one more, I think, learning has been that don't keep your target audience very wide, right? I mean, just focus on one segment, go after it. आपके हो सकता है कि कंज्यूमर इधर उधर से आए, बट एटलीस्ट इन टर्म्स ऑफ योर पोजिशनिंग, इन टर्म्स ऑफ योर कम्युनिकेशन, यू शुड बी वेरी रेजर शार्प, राइट? सो वी नो दैट, लेट्स से इफ वी हैव टू डिफाइन अ कस्टमर फॉर मैन कंपनी, आई कैन गिव यू अ टू पेज दिस थिंग अबाउट दिस 28-year-old गाय हु इज मूव फ्रॉम, लेट्स से पुणे टू बॉम्बे, हु इज वर्किंग इन एन आई टी कंपनी, हु इज अर्निंग दिस मच. So you have profiled our customer to nth point, right? I can tell you what he does at 7 o'clock and what in the morning and what he does at 8 o'clock in the evening, right? So I think that's the detail that you want to go after, because then you know different aspects of his life and you can build your marketing strategy, your product strategy around his lifestyle, right? So for example, idea to launch Man Company digitally was to kind of reach out to this millennial, because hame ye pata tha ki yaar, he's not going to Big Bazaar to buy his shampoo, right? Now we wanted to enter his ecosystem without his disturbing his lifestyle, right? So how do you make it as convenient to him as possible? So we knew that he's spending 80% of his time on digital medium, right? So we started with e-commerce, we started building the brand on Instagram, Facebook, and we started talking to him in the language that he understands. वो बहुत है, जस्ट बिकॉज पीपल रिलेटेड टू इट, राइट? सो इट पेज टू स्टे ऑथेंटिक एंड टॉक टू मिलेनियल्स इन द लैंग्वेज दैट दे अंडरस्टैंड. आई थिंक दैट्स द बिगेस्ट लर्निंग. बी इट लेट्स बाय, बी ट्रूली मैडली, बी द मैन कंपनी, आई थिंक दैट्स व्हाट आई बीन ट्राइंग टू डू.
डज इट हेल्प टू गेट सेलिब्रिटीज टू इंडोर्स?
इट डज, एंड बट आई डोंट थिंक इट इज ऑनेस्टली, इट इज नॉट अ मेक और ब्रेक थिंग. I mean, you can still build a brand without a celebrity. With us, I think we were very, very particular that if we are getting a celebrity, it should be someone who is online as well as offline, is a gentleman within, right? So when we met Ayushman, it was not just the physical appearance. Because of his physical appearance, we wanted him to get on board. It was mainly for his beliefs, right? So the first question he asked us, for example, was ki yaar, aap logo ki whitening cream to nahi hai, because he doesn't want to sell whitening cream, right? He was very clear in terms of our brand ethos, right? So he said ki yaar, matlab, I'm willing to work with you guys if we just don't advertise in a traditional way, right? So because we also as a brand, we never wanted a celeb jo ki product utha ke bole ki ab ye karega, wo karega, over promise and under deliver, right? We didn't want to do that. We wanted a celeb who can give us the reach, whom we can create a content that people associate with, right? And who can help us in storytelling in an effective way, right? So that's what we have been doing with Ayushman. So we've already shot 2 more ad films with him. You may or may not even see the product or brand in those ad films, right? It is more more storytelling to take our gentleman and you video forward. Okay. So I think fortunately that's what Ayushman also believes in, and we as a brand also believe in. So you'll never see us over promising on any product, any ingredient. I think we'll tell you the way it is, and we'll tell you that these are the benefits and these are the harmful effects as well, right? And then it is your call to use those products.
Thank you so much, Hitesh. It was great to hear from you.
Well, I think बचपन से ऑब्वियसली आई नेवर थॉट दैट आई विल बी एन एंटरप्रेन्योर. आई वांटेड टू बी अ पायलट व्हाइल ग्रोइंग अप, सो टुक नॉन मेड एंड ऑल दिस स्टफ. बट देन आई ऑलवेज सॉ माय पेरेंट्स. सो माय मदर हैज बीन अ बैंकर फॉर ऑलमोस्ट 40-45 इयर्स. माय फादर वाज वर्किंग विद इफको इन एन मार्केटिंग डिपार्टमेंट, और सो उनको दोनों को देखा कि कुछ ना कुछ दे यूज टू प्लान, आई मीन बी इट इन रियल एस्टेट. और एक बार मुझे याद है, आई थिंक आई मस्ट बी व्हाट 8-10 year old, एंड दे वर प्लानिंग टू सेट अप अ फैक्ट्री टू मैन्युफैक्चर पेन्स, राइट? सो दे वर डूइंग लॉट ऑफ R&D एटसेट्रा. बट बियॉन्ड दैट आई नेवर थॉट ऑनेस्टली दैट आई विल बी एन एंटरप्रेन्योर. तो जब मैं MBA कर रहा था, तो उस टाइम आई थिंक आई गॉट सुपर एक्साइटेड कि कुछ अपना स्टार्ट करूंगा, और अगर नहीं भी करूंगा तो आई वॉज सुपर एक्साइटेड बाई द स्टार्टअप इकोसिस्टम एज वेल, एटलीस्ट राइट सो मुझे था एक हमारी कैंपस में कुछ ऑलमा मेथर्स थे हमारे, उन्होंने स्टार्ट की थी एक स्टार्टअप कॉल्ड ईसेस. सो विद इन 4 years दे बिकेम अ बिलियन डॉलर रेवेन्यू बिजनेस ऑपरेटिंग इन 30-35 कंट्रीज. सो आई वॉज सुपर एक्साइटेड टू सी देयर ग्रोथ चार्ट राइट. एंड वहाँ से मुझे लगता है कि एक कीड़ा आया कि यार यह तो ऐसी कंपनी में काम करना है जहाँ पे लर्निंग हो अच्छी और इतनी फास्ट ग्रोथ हो, या अपनी कोई ऐसी कंपनी खड़ी करनी है. बट आई थिंक इन माय माइंड आई न्यू माय लिमिटेशंस. मुझे पता था कि माय पेरेंट्स वोंट बी एबल टू फंड माय प्रोजेक्ट, और अभी मुझे एटलीस्ट आई नीड टू अर्न पे देम बैक एंड देन प्रॉब्ली ओवर अ पीरियड ऑफ टाइम स्टार्ट समथिंग ऑन माय ओन. सो आई थिंक वहाँ से थोड़ा कीड़ा आना शुरू हुआ एंड इट टुक मी ऑलमोस्ट 3-4 years टू काइंड ऑफ टेक माई फर्स्ट लीप इन टू स्टार्टअप वर्ल्ड.
So from campus you joined ESIS. So tell me about that journey.
So ESIS was the, I still remember, 13th company to visit the campus, right? And I didn't appear for first 12 companies because I wanted to give my 100% and join ESIS. I was, I think, too excited by their journey. And especially knowing that all the founders were from my MBA school. So I waited for that company. Fortunately, I went through. I got a job, joined them in June 2004 in their Delhi office. But within a month and a half, they decided to move me to Singapore, which was their headquarters. तो सिंगापुर में मेरा काफ़ी अच्छा एक्सपीरियंस रहा. कुछ आई थिंक 60-70 पीपल वर वर्किंग इन दैट हेडक्वार्टर एंड आई हैड टू इंटरेक्ट विद ऑलमोस्ट ऑल ऑफ देम ऑन डेली बेसिस. सो चाहे वो फाइनेंस हो या टेक हो. सो ईसिस वॉज अ आई टी डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन कंपनी एंड दैट टाइम दे वर वर्किंग ऑन अ प्रोजेक्ट टू लॉन्च देयर प्राइवेट लेबल राइट, डेस्कटॉप एंड लैपटॉप्स. तो मेरी ट्रेनिंग ऐसी हुई कि मतलब even learned how to assemble a laptop or a desktop, right? और first जो project था वो मैंने खुद मतलब चार बंदों के साथ factory छोटी सी setup करके basement में I assembled 50 laptops and we kind of supplied it to a retailer in UK. So I think I had an amazing experience there. I was working very closely with the founders, the CEO. And I think that kind of laid foundation of getting into entrepreneurship. So I could understand that emotional roller coaster, right, that he was going through because working closely with them. And that kind of prepared me, right? And jo wo keeda MBA ke dino shuru hua tha, I think that started booming, right? So that started giving me courage ki yaar, now I think I can probably take a risk of getting a full time into entrepreneurship.
So what happened say around 2006?
Yeah, so 2006, I had to move back to India for personal reasons. My father was really unwell. Or one of my friends from my college days, he was starting an online advertising agency called Quasar Media. So they just started it. So he started it with his boss, Manish Vich. And he mentioned about it. I got excited because ek to online advertising and plus a startup. So mujhe laga ki yaar, India aane, instead of looking for a job, I had a bit of saving ki Singapore mein ek do saal kaam karke. So I was like, yeah, let me give it a try for 6 months and let's see. So I joined them as a founding member. So wahan pe, I was managing a lot of affiliate marketing. I didn't know anything about online advertising. So for first 3-4 months, I just learned how it works, how Google makes money. So I did a lot of affiliate marketing for hotel.com, booking.com, just to understand the ecosystem ki yaar, ROI कैसे होता है, CAC कैसे होता है, LTV कैसे होता है, etc. And I think, so that's when we decided that we can probably set up, we wanted to set up a contextual advertising network in India. And I took the lead and started Tyru, which still exists. So it's an online advertising network.
So just, you know, in simple language, what is a contextual advertising network?
So contextual advertising means, let's say, as a brand, as a men's grooming brand, we identify, let's say, 100 keywords. Could be grooming, could be beard growth, right? Anti-dandruff. I mean, we identify 100 keywords. And as a brand, I would like to show my ad to wherever these keywords appear. राइट सो वी एज अ एड नेटवर्क हम लोगों ने पब्लिशर का एक पूल बनाया राइट. सो वी हैड मोर देन 1000 पब्लिशर्स इंक्लूडिंग ब्लॉगर्स. और दूसरी तरफ इट वॉज अ सेल्फ सर्विंग राइट. सो हमने एडवर्टाइजर्स को टारगेट करना शुरू किया कि यू आइडेंटिफाई द कीवर्ड्स आप हमारा टूल यूज करके सिंपल टेक्स्ट एड बनाओ और जहां जहां ये कीवर्ड्स शो हो रहे हैं, कोई भी आर्टिकल है लेट्स से डैंड्रफ के बारे में या बियर्ड ग्रोथ के बारे में, योर एड विल शो अप देयर, राइट? सो इट इज एग्जैक्टली द सेम वे लाइक व्हाट गूगल डज, राइट? बट उस टाइम क्योंकि गूगल नहीं था मार्केट में, सो वी थॉट वी कुड बी द फर्स्ट वन टू काइंड ऑफ लीड द वे एंड स्पेशली टारगेटिंग SMEs, एजुकेटिंग देम. सो दैट्स व्हाट वी डिड.
Okay, so then what next?
I think after working with Tyru for almost 1.5, 2 years, one day I met my boss from ESIS, right? And I met him to pitch Tyru for their business. और बातों में उसने मेंशन किया कि यार ई कॉमर्स यूएस में इज इज बूमिंग लाइक एनीथिंग. उस टाइम आई थिंक ई बायर और दो तीन dapps.com, सो दीज वर फ्यू ई कॉमर्स कंपनीज फोकसिंग ऑन इलेक्ट्रॉनिक्स. सो ही सेड व्हाई डोंट यू हेल्प अस इन सेटिंग अप आर ई कॉमर्स. हम लोगों का 30-35 कंट्रीज में ऑपरेशंस है, सो वी कैन डू इट टुगेदर. सो एंडेड अप जॉइनिंग बैक ESIS टू हेल्प देम इन सेटिंग अप देयर ई कॉमर्स. तो वहाँ पे So we started with Singapore because it was headquartered and small country. So we were kind of the first e-commerce site after Dell in Singapore too. So this was in 2006, 2007. And so I obviously helped them in setting things up there. Then India mein humne Cafe Gadgets ke naam se launch kiya. So we launched e-commerce in 7 countries and in couple of countries it started doing well. So India, Singapore, Malaysia, it started doing really well. Ran it for almost 3-3.5 years, but then ESIS got into bad shape. I think they had some legal issue with one of their partners, aur uski wajah se their complete working capital got blocked and they decided to just focus on their core business, and that also I think they started packing up in a lot of countries. So as a result, obviously, we had to shut down that business within ESIS. But because I was too confident about e-commerce opportunity in India, I thought, this was more of an accident, but I thought this could be the right time to continue the momentum and start something on my own. So that's what I think gave me an idea for Let's Buy. So launched Let's Buy in 2009, July.
So what was the original idea with which you launched Let's Buy and how did it evolve?
So Let's Buy launch karne se pehle, I think India mein jo e-commerce ka ecosystem tha. So there were few sites like eBay, India Time Shopping, India Plaza, but all of them were marketplaces, right? So especially jab aap electronics lete ho, jaise mobile phone, laptops, these are expensive buy, right? So you want to be sure ki warranty ho, original ho, proper packaging mein ho, sab kuch ho. But because existing platform were marketplaces, they never had any control over the inventory, ki what is being sold. So BlackBerry ke phones bikte the, lekin wo open bikte the without warranty, right? So there were a lot of customer issues. So Let's Buy ka idea ye tha ki we will work directly with the brand owners or their authorized distributors, right? So we won't really become a marketplace. So it was more of a stock and sell model. Ki we used to get the order. We used to either procure it from, let's say, Samsung or their distributor and then ship it to the customer. But every product was going through our warehouse, right? Which made sure ki quality hai, warranty hai, seal pack hai, product proper hai. So that's what we did. And we started working with, I think it required a lot of effort because we, us time kisi bhi company ka mandate nahi hota tha e-commerce ka, right? So it was just like theek hai yaar, US mein abhi thoda bahut hua hai, India mein itna nahi hai. So we had to convince a lot of these players to give us some exclusive products. So I remember jab Samsung ne Corby launch kiya tha, which was their first smartphone. So we ran a pre-order on Let's Buy and it was a huge success. So after that, Samsung also kind of got confidence ki yaar, theek hai, kuch kar sakte hain. So that's how we started. And I think we kind of bootstrapped it for 1.5 years. After that, obviously, we raised our first round and I think grew from 70 lakhs a month to almost 28-30 crores a month within a span of 12 months.
So when you started Let's Buy in 2008, I imagine at that time, none of the ecosystem would have existed the way it exists today, be it payment gateway, be it logistics support. So how did you manage all these challenges and, you know, what were like the key takeaways from it?
Yeah, no, I still remember our website was about to launch, right? So we had a launch date, I think somewhere in August 2009. But payment gateway was still not integrated because ICICI was taking time, right? So I had to sit at their office for 2 days just to get the payment gateway up, right? And I pleaded with them, Kiar, we have a deadline, we have to go live, because there were some commitments made to some of the partners like Samsung, Microsoft, etc. And after sitting at their office for almost 10 hours a day for 2 days, I managed to get the payment gateway up. Even logistics, I still remember that time I used to stay in Kirti Nagar, West Delhi, and our office was in Patel Nagar. So any order from West Delhi, I used to carry it in my car and kind of deliver it. So I think that's what we did. What really worked well for us, and it was kind of blessing in disguise, because we were bootstrapping, I didn't have much salary to pay. I ended up hiring a lot of people, management trainee from tier 2 MBA institutes like Amity, APJ, etc. Right? And these guys, I mean, they didn't have any ego. I mean, they wanted to work, they wanted to learn. I could mold them the way I wanted. And they were working about 12, 15 hours a day, right? So it was a small team of 12, 13 people, but I think they were giving it all, right? And that really worked for us as a bootstrap company. I think that was probably the wisest decision I made, to hire freshers from a tier 2 institutes. And I think even after that, I mean, in my all my ventures, I made sure that I continue to do that. So we don't prefer people from IITs. We give priority to people from tier 2 institutes who are more hungry, right? And who don't have... So they will not probably switch job for a few thousand or few lakhs, right? If you're from IIMs, you have an opportunity cost. So if startup is not doing well, it is first the people from tier 1 institute who start looking out for a job, because they have a good opportunity cost. So
I want to understand more how you bootstrapped an e-commerce company. I mean, e-commerce companies need a lot of capital for customer acquisition and so on. So how did you manage to get customers? How did you manage to build up your order pipeline?
Yeah. So I think kaash ye pata hota us time. Because Cafe Gadgets, we were not burning much capital. So when we started Let's Buy, for first 1.5 years, we were actually profitable. Hmm. Right? So agar hum 70-80 lakh ka mahine ka business karte the, to usme 7-8 lakh rupaye hamara profit aata tha, which goes back to obviously salary and other expenses. But we were not really bleeding. Hmm. Right? But then obviously we realized over a period of time, here if you have to scale up, then obviously the acquisition cost goes up, because then you need to advertise, you need to offer discounts, and that's a never-ending story, right? So even today, I mean, none of the e-commerce player is profitable, because they keep burning money, right? But that time, I think, I was running it more as a business, right? And I was very, very particular that we don't bleed while scaling up. So for, I think before we raised Series A, we were kind of profitable.
So tell us about the funding journey. How did that happen?
So it was an interesting thing. So I think before Let's Buy, I never interacted with a VC. I think it was somewhere in 2010, June, I got a cold call from this VC saying ki I am an investor in Make My Trip, and I've recently invested in Flipkart. And now I'm looking for an e-commerce venture in electronic space. And I would be interested to meet up with you. And I'm planning to travel to India in a couple of weeks. So I would love to catch up with you. And that call was from Lee Fixel, right? So who was, I mean, that time with Tiger Global. So he visited us. He really liked what we were doing, but he thought that we are too small for him. So he had introduced us to Axel, right? So Prashant and Subrato at Axel. And in parallel, so Manish Vij, who was my ex-boss, so he had angel invested in Let's Buy. So he, through his connection, introduced us to Hillion. So we were talking to both Hillion and Axel, and both of them decided to kind of write a check, Series A, 4 odd million in Let's Buy. And over a period of time, because business was scaling up month on month, so Tiger also decided to write a 2 million check. So our Series A, we concluded in December 2010, and it was 6 million from Tiger, Hillion, Axel, all three of them participating equally. So that's when Amanpreet joined on board. So Amanpreet and I were college mates, and that time he was working with E&Y, just got married, so he was a bit hesitant to join a startup. A pre-funding stage. So he decided to join once we got a term sheet signed from all the investors. And I think 2011 was a great year for Let's Buy. I mean, we grew from 70, 75 lakhs monthly revenue to almost 28, 29 crore monthly revenue.
In one year.
Wow. From 12, 13 people team to almost 450 people team. So hired more than a person a day. We were probably the most covered e-commerce startup in that particular year. Right. So I think we were doing exceptionally well. But then obviously we were burning a lot more capital as well. But just because business was doing well, there was a lot of inbound interest from private equity and VCs to participate in the round. So in fact, we kind of signed the term sheet with three new investors, including, I mean, three existing
when
investors.
When was this?
This was in 2011, July, August time. And it was supposed to be a $42.5 million round at a $120-130 million pre-valuation. So it was a good jump from where we were a year back. And three marquee investors, right? But then one of the investors wanted us to kind of shift our base from India to Singapore because they had a global mandate whatsoever. And that consumed almost 3 months time period, right? And even though they had given us the first tranche of 6 million because it was a Diwali period and we really needed working capital, but because it took 3 months, aur us 3 mahine mein kya hua China mein, so this this particular VC had invested in a similar e-commerce company in China aur usne kuch $5 billion ki valuation pe $100 million dale the, and within 3 weeks, I mean 3 weeks or a month, the valuation went down to $2.5 billion, right? So China mein e-commerce companies started facing this headwind, right? As a result, this VC decided to kind of pull off from their investment in Let's Buy. And they pulled off from a lot of e-commerce investments during that period in India, right? And because he was a marquee investor, so obviously the other investors also got jittery, right? Or so we were going through a very, I think, stressful phase at that point in time. And Lee was traveling to India, so I still remember meeting. So they had a Flipkart board meeting in Delhi. So Lee and Prashant, so we met him at Leela Chanakyapuri, both me, Amanpreet, and even I think Manish was there. And Lee mentioned that, why don't you talk to Sachin and Binny? They are traveling to Delhi. And it could be an interesting proposition for you guys as well. And they also had mentioned to Lee somewhere back in time that we would be interested in evaluating acquisition of Let's Buy. So
Flipkart was already into electronics?
So that time they just got into electronics and we were kind of neck to neck in terms of numbers. So immediately after that meeting, we went to meet Sachin and Binny. We had a dinner with them. So I think after an hour-long meeting, we kind of decided this could be the right option, right? So it didn't take much time. So from that meeting, I think within a week's time, everything was kind of close in terms of valuation, in terms of agreement, everything. So that was a completely roller coaster ride, because from bootstrap to probably 150 crore revenue run rate to kind of selling off the company, right? So it was a good learning experience. I mean, 2.5-3 years.
What were the lessons from the exit? And there are a lot of cases where most founders are not happy with post-exit scenarios. The commitments are not lived up to. Did something like that happen here, or, you know, was it all smooth?
No, I think it was all smooth. Look, so what we realized was, obviously, I think there's always a hope ki yaar thodi valuation better hoti, thoda aur mil jata. So for example, I think we decided ki yaar me and Amanpreet, because that time Flipkart was kind of valued at $1 billion. So humne decide kiya ki yaar let's cash out, because one of our existing investor said ki yaar already valuation bahut zyada hai, to better to cash out. Now the existing investors, they didn't have an option to cash out, so they was invested in Flipkart. And Hillion, after I think 2-3 years, exited at 150 crores, right? So from what they invested in Let's Buy. So you never know. I think there's always a scope. But then I think for a first venture, it was a decent exit for both me and Amanpreet. And I think more than the cash amount, I think it was immense learning, right? And I think as an individual obviously, I mean, we realize the importance of having a co-founder, having a solid board, having a mentor like Manish, right? So I think there was immense learning for us. Baki valuation ka, obviously, I mean, year down the line, Myntra got acquired, similar numbers, but valuation was almost $300 million, right? And they raised a lot more capital than Let's Buy at that point in time. So you never know about these things because then there was, on other side, there was Ye Bhi, right? Again, had raised a lot more capital than Let's Buy or even Fashion & You. And they got shut down without any acquisition or any value for the stakeholders, right? So at least I think the biggest satisfaction we had was that we could deliver good returns for the investors, all the stakeholders. And obviously the founders and the core team, I mean, of 12, 13 people, the initial members, they also made some money.
So this was around 2011.
This was 2012 early.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then 2012, you have a big chunk of cash with you post the exit. What did you do after that?
So I got the cash after 6 months.
Okay.
because there was a financial due diligence and audit and everything. But I took a sabbatical. I took a year-long sabbatical because I didn't really want to
rush. Did your lifestyle change post that since, you know, obviously?
Oh, yes. Because I think when we were running Let's Buy, both me and Aman were spending almost 14, 15 hours a day at office, right? So there were, I think every week, there were days when we were leaving office at 1:30. 2 o'clock in the night and back at 8 o'clock in the morning, right? And our office was in South Delhi, and both of us used to stay in West Delhi. So jab tak chala rahe the, tab tak realize nahi hua, but after the deal, we realized that we were also burning out, right? Doing it consistently and at the scale that we grew, I think it was kind of hampering our health and mental peace as well. So it took a sabbatical. I think traveled to at least 10-12 countries in that 1 year, some with family, some without family as well, because my wife that time was working. So that gave me a lot of time to think about my next venture. I started meeting people. I mean, started meeting my investor friends, my fellow entrepreneurs. And I think that kind of obviously helped me in clearing my thoughts, clearing my mind in terms of what I do want to do next. That in that phase, I ended up meeting Sachin Bhatia. So Sachin was co-founder of Make My Trip. So he had also exited at that point in time. He was looking for his next 10. So hum dono ne baith ke, we started evaluating a few business models and realized that matchmaking is one model which hasn't been disrupted in last 10-15 years. So that gave us an idea about Truly Madly, launching Truly Madly. Yeah, so Rahul that time was leading a product for Make My Trip. So we decided to kind of incubate Truly Madly with Rahul leading it. On the other side, I met Parvesh. So Parvesh is my family friend and now co-founder of The Man Company. So he has been in this business of manufacturing and packaging of beauty and cosmetics products for almost last 20 years. So when I started meeting him, discussing with him, so the gross margin in this category kind of excited me. So in electronics, we were working at 10-12%, and here you work at 70-80% gross margins, right? So I thought there could be some interesting game here as well. So again, got Bhisham, who is my school friend, and he was part of Let's Buy team as well. Got him on board to kind of lead, not the Man Company, but that time we started with the perfume business. So we were buying perfume from Parvesh's company and then obviously selling it online, offline. So just to understand the market, right? So even at that point in time, and we started within the same office. So I was working with both the teams, but I was not really full-time involved with either of them. So once the Truly Madly got launched and we decided to raise capital, so Hillion and K Capital, they came on board, and Hillion wanted me and Sachin to be on board full time. So that's when we decided to get full time on Truly Madly. So ran it for 3 years.
So tell me more about Truly Madly. Why did you decide on a dating site for India when, you know, the traditional mindset is fairly prevalent in India and there were already big players in the matrimonial space? So yeah, what was the thesis?
So I think thesis was very simple. That time, I mean, obviously there was Shaadi, Bharat Matrimony, Jeevan Saathi, all doing well. But they were primarily desktop-focused matchmaking site. And especially in case of girls, it was mostly the parents who were managing profile of girls on these sites, right? And whereas I think the ecosystem had evolved, right? So a lot of women want to take control of their own life, at least when it comes to choosing a right partner. So we thought it could be the right time to build something which is slightly before finding a marriage partner, right? I mean, slightly before that, more around serious dating, right? Or a relationship platform where the profiles are authenticated, right? So we had a social plugin to verify each and every profile, right? Which kind of gives credibility to the platform and women feel secure because they know that all the profiles are kind of verified on this platform, right? So we used to reject almost 10-15% profile because they were fake. So there was a team, I mean, kind of verifying each and every profile. So we realized that if we provide this safe environment, if we make it more relationship oriented, which is beyond caste, creed, etc., it could be relevant for today's times. So first 2.5 years, Truly Madly did really well. We ended up getting almost 500,000 database with a healthy men's to women ratio, because I think that was the biggest challenge for any matchmaking or dating site in India. There were 90-95% men and 5-7% women. So I think we at least ended up getting 70-30 ratio, right? So in that sense, the engagement rate was pretty high, and we ended up creating a great brand around it.
What was the revenue model?
So that time, I think for first 2-2.5 years, it was only advertising, right? So we didn't really have subscription. And we wanted to add subscription once we crossed 1 million database. So I think we ended up creating a great brand. But then obviously Tinder launched in India to kind of, they barge into our party. I mean, spoil the game in a way, right? Spending heavily on Bollywood, etc., getting a lot of celebs on board. And I think the virality around Tinder was way too high, right? Especially in metros. So we realized that probably we were underestimating the demographics. I think people were comfortable in even hooking up, right? And we were, I think, in our mind, still, I think, wanted to create a safe haven for, especially girls when it comes to finding someone. So wo thoda, Tinder kind of disrupted the market for us, right? And we couldn't really raise the next round because I think everyone started comparing the numbers with the Tinder numbers without really looking at the engagement metrics or the brand authenticity, right? So Truly Madly is still doing well, but I think we realized that probably the scale that we were envisioning was kind of far-fetched. All three of us realized that I think scale is not exciting for us to be on full time. So we ended up getting 25-30-year-olds to kind of run the show. And all of us are now, obviously, I mean, ventured out into something else. So I've been running Man Company for last 4 years. Sachin started a company called Bulbul, which is video shopping. And Rahul has got into healthcare insurance space. So he'll be launching his product soon.
Okay. So tell us about the Man Company journey. And, you already gave us a little bit of background about how you started a perfume business. So just expand from there. So what happened?
Yeah. So I think when we started perfume business, so we were trying to sell it online and offline. Or both me and Bhisham kind of traveled from Jammu to Kanyakumari just to understand the offline channel space as well. तो हम लोग थोड़ा मास प्रीमियम कैटेगरी में जाने की कोशिश कर रहे थे, बिकॉज अगर आप परफ्यूम भी देखें तो यह तो बिल्कुल मास ब्रांड्स हैं, या फिर यू हैव लग्जरी परफ्यूम्स, राइट, विच यू गेट इट एट एयरपोर्ट और मॉडर्न ट्रेड. सो वी वॉन्टेड टू लॉन्च समथिंग इन मास प्रीमियम स्पेस, बट वहाँ पे हमें ये समझ आया कि यार ऑफलाइन में जो जितने भी डिस्ट्रीब्यूटर्स हैं, इट इज़ वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू काइंड ऑफ चेंज देयर माइंडसेट. उनको पता है कि यार 100 रुपये का ही परफ्यूम बिकता है, 100 रुपये में मुझे 25 रुपये ही चाहिए. अगर आप 100 की जगह आप 200 रुपए का भी उनको परफ्यूम दोगे तो दे विल नॉट एक्सेप्ट इट, कि कौन खरीदेगा, राइट? सो अनलेस यू हैव अ स्ट्रॉन्ग पुल फॉर द ब्रांड, इट्स वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू क्रैक ऑफलाइन डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन इन इंडिया. सो आई थिंक दैट गिव अस इनसाइड कि यार ऑफलाइन तो चलो अभी हो ही नहीं सकता, दैट इज आई मीन वी डोंट हैव लर्निंग, वी अंडरस्टैंड ई कॉमर्स बेटर, लेट्स फोकस ओनली ऑन ई कॉमर्स. नाउ इफ वी हैव टू फोकस ओनली ऑन ई कॉमर्स, जस्ट सेलिंग परफ्यूम वॉज गोइंग टू बी वेरी वेरी नीश, राइट? सो वी हैड टू ऑब्वियसली ब्रॉडन अप द कैटेगरी. तो उस टाइम आई स्टार्टेड ट्रैवलिंग विद परवेश टू डिफरेंट एग्जीबिशंस. एक कॉस्मोप्रॉफ होती है बलोनिया में इन इटली, एंड देन हांगकॉन्ग, देन देयर वर फ्यू एग्जीबिशंस इन टर्की, दुबई. तो वहाँ पे आई रियलाइज कि यार आई ट्रैवल विद हिम फॉर टू इयर्स, आई मीन सम 6-7 एग्जीबिशंस, एंड विद एवरी एग्जीबिशन आई रियलाइज कि यार फर्स्ट एग्जीबिशन में probably there was one brand Korea से जो कि men's grooming बेच रहा था, but everything else was focused on women, so no one was even talking about men. But over a period of 1-1.5 years I realized that the percentage of men's cosmetics or grooming companies were kind of increasing. I mean still not substantial, I think फिर भी वो 95.5% ही होगा, but then at least they were increasing, right?
And this was while Truly Madly was you were still running that in parallel, you did this or this was after?
No, this was before me getting into Truly Madly. So वो मतलब back of the mind, because we knew कि यार ये perfume हम कर रहे हैं तो साथ में क्या क्या कर सकते हैं. So obviously, so I think, but we were not convinced कि मेंस ग्रूमिंग इंडिया में, क्योंकि बड़ी एफएमसीजी कंपनीज हैं तो क्या करेंगे क्या नहीं करेंगे. सो व्हेन आई डिसाइडेड टू काइंड ऑफ मूव ऑन फ्रॉम ट्रूली मैडली, आई स्टार्टेड स्पेंडिंग लॉट मोर टाइम विद द टीम हियर विदाउट कमिटिंग कि यार मतलब आई कम फुल टाइम ऑन बोर्ड, बट एटलीस्ट आई स्टार्टेड वर्किंग वेरी क्लोजली विद भीषम टू फिगर आउट द स्ट्रैटेजी कि यार क्या करना चाहिए क्या नहीं करना चाहिए. एंड तब मतलब ये रियलाइज कि यार premium men's grooming essential could be one space. It was still very very niche, but it was a risk worth taking up, because ek to koi brand nahi tha India mein jo ki pura head to toe matlab targeting only men kisi ke paas range ho. There were few brands selling deodorants, few brands selling whitening creams or talcum powders or shaving, but no one was catering to complete head to toe range. Second, buying decision was primarily taken by women of the house, right? So wo grocery ke liye koi agar gaye, be it your wife or mother, they used to buy products, and you end up using the same soap, same body wash, same shampoo that your wife or sister or anyone else in the house is using. So we realized ki our convenience could be one factor. So if we launch the website using lot of content, which becomes like a grooming buddy for you, ki yaar aapko let's say dandruff ho rahi hai, you just search and see ki yaar ye cheeze mere ko karni hai, be it the lifestyle changes, be it the intake of more water, etc., and plus ye apply karna hai, aur apply karne ke liye there's a man company. So that was the kind of strategy and vision that we came up with. Or so yeah, so that was the reason. So then we started working on the product, ki product kya hone chahiye. So we obviously realized ki ek to packaging should be Instagram friendly, ki agar hum online hi brand build kar rahe hain, so people should, because men generally don't share anything, right, about what they are using, especially when it comes to personal care. But we wanted it to be a shareable and get that virality around the brand. So we made the packaging Instagram friendly. We made the ingredient, which were obviously there's a high perception ki it's a good quality product. So we don't use sulfate, paraben. We only use essential oil, so no artificial fragrances, etc. So all those things kind of obviously delivers a right packaging, right product. And even though it looks super premium luxury, but the pricing is still affordable, right? So pricing kind of surprises the customer. And we believe that's been one of the things that really worked in our favor in last 4 years.
Okay. And how has the turnover grown over the years?
We've been growing almost 250-300% year on year. So this year, I think we should close at almost 90-odd crores of revenue, right? And if you compare it with last year, we closed at around 22-23 crores, right? So almost more than 300% growth this year over last year.
Okay. And how to pitch your venture to a VC? Is there a way in which VCs look at pitches? What is the best way to get good quality VCs to back you?
Look, so I think as an entrepreneur, one of the biggest quality you should have is storytelling, right? आप कोई भी बिजनेस कर रहे हो, एज लॉन्ग एज यू हैव अ वेरी क्लियर विजन एंड यू नो हाउ टू कम्युनिकेट दैट विजन, right? I think that's what matters. Because early stages mein aap numbers, matlab har kisi ko pata hai ki numbers har quarter mein change hote hain, right? But what I think VCs or any angel investor are looking for is clarity of your vision and your storytelling capability, right? Ki agar aap brand bana rahe ho, to kaisa brand banaoge 5 saal mein, 10 saal mein, क्या शेप अप करेगा ब्रांड, एटलीस्ट आई मीन इन टर्म्स ऑफ योर विजन, राइट? फाइनल रिजल्ट क्या हो यू नेवर नो, बट एटलीस्ट इन टर्म्स ऑफ योर विजन यू शुड बी वेरी क्लियर कि यार दिस इज व्हाट यू आर ट्राइंग टू अचीव एंड यू नीड टू कन्विंस वीसीज और एनी इन्वेस्टर ऑन योर विजन. आई थिंक दैट इज द बिगेस्ट कैपेबिलिटी यू नीड टू हैव.
So Hitesh, you've always been ahead of the curve in terms of targeting millennials or young early adopters, be it in electronics or dating or now in grooming. So what are your lessons for other founders who may be looking to cater to a similar audience of young early adopters, millennials?
Right. Look, so I think I've realized ki you need to understand your target audience really, really well. Right, especially if you are building a product service for them, you need to know, each and everything about them. So I strongly advise everyone to spend a lot of time in understanding your consumer and understanding their need, right? So a lot of times, consumer might not be able to tell you ki yaar ye pain point hai ya ye uski need hai, but then that's something that you need to do as an entrepreneur. Right, figure out ki yaar how can you make his life simple, right? How can you kind of remove some of his pain points which he probably doesn't even realize exist, but still I think that's the entrepreneurship job of entrepreneur to figure out. So when I started,
how do you figure these things out? I mean, do you like go and sit with millennials and
or? So let's say when we were starting Man Company, right, both me and Bhisham, I think we did a lot of focus groups and plus even intuitively, because we knew that this is something where the opportunity exists, right? We started talking to a lot of our friends, family, people in our family, right? And especially in the age group that we were targeting, right? And one more, I think, learning has been that don't keep your target audience very wide, right? I mean, just focus on one segment, go after it. आपके हो सकता है कि कंज्यूमर इधर उधर से आए, बट एटलीस्ट इन टर्म्स ऑफ योर पोजिशनिंग, इन टर्म्स ऑफ योर कम्युनिकेशन, यू शुड बी वेरी रेजर शार्प, राइट? सो वी नो दैट, लेट्स से इफ वी हैव टू डिफाइन अ कस्टमर फॉर मैन कंपनी, आई कैन गिव यू अ टू पेज दिस थिंग अबाउट दिस 28-year-old गाय हु इज मूव फ्रॉम लेट्स से पुणे टू बॉम्बे, हु इज वर्किंग इन एन आई टी कंपनी, हु इज अर्निंग दिस मच. So you have profiled our customer to nth point, right? I can tell you what he does at 7 o'clock and what in the morning and what he does at 8 o'clock in the evening, right? So I think that's the detail that you want to go after, because then you know different aspects of his life and you can build your marketing strategy, your product strategy around his lifestyle, right? So for example, idea to launch Man Company digitally was to kind of reach out to this millennial, because hume ye pata tha ki yaar he is not going to Big Bazaar to buy his shampoo, right? Now we wanted to enter his ecosystem without his disturbing his lifestyle, right? So how do you make it as convenient to him as possible? So we knew that he's spending 80% of his time on digital medium, right? So we started with e-commerce, we started building the brand on Instagram, Facebook, and we started talking to him in the language that he understands. वो बहुत जस्ट बिकॉज पीपल रिलेटेड टू इट, राइट? सो इट पेज टू स्टे ऑथेंटिक एंड टॉक टू मिलेनियल्स इन द लैंग्वेज दैट दे अंडरस्टैंड. आई थिंक दैट्स द बिगेस्ट लर्निंग, बी इट लेट्स बाय, बी ट्रूली मैडली, बी द मैन कंपनी. आई थिंक दैट्स व्हाट आई हैव बीन ट्राइंग टू डू.
डज इट हेल्प टू गेट सेलिब्रिटीज टू एंडोर्स?
इट डज, एंड बट आई डोंट थिंक इट इज ऑनेस्टली इट इज नॉट अ मेक और ब्रेक थिंग. I mean, you can still build a brand without a celebrity. With us, I think we were very, very particular that if we are getting a celebrity, it should be someone who is online as well as offline, is a gentleman within, right? So when we met Ayushman, it was not just the physical appearance. Because of his physical appearance, we wanted him to get on board. It was mainly for his beliefs, right? So the first question he asked us, for example, was ki yaar aap logo ki whitening cream to nahi hai, because he doesn't want to sell whitening cream, right? He was very clear in terms of our brand ethos, right? So he said, ki yaar, matlab, I'm willing to work with you guys if we just don't advertise in a traditional way, right? So because we also as a brand, we never wanted a celeb jo ki product utha ke bole ki ab ye karega, wo karega, over promise and under deliver, right? We didn't want to do that. We wanted a celeb who can give us the reach, whom we can create a content that people associate with, right? And who can help us in storytelling in an effective way, right? So that's what we have been doing with Ayushmann. So we've already shot two more ad films with him. You may or may not even see the product or brand in those ad films, right? It is more more storytelling to take a gentleman and you video forward. Okay. So I think fortunately that's what Ayushmann also believes in, and we as a brand also believe in. So you'll never see us over promising on any product, any ingredient. I think we'll tell you the way it is, and we'll tell you that these are the benefits and these are the harmful effects as well, right? And then it is your call to use those products.
Thank you so much, Hitesh. It was great to hear from you.
Beyond Campus is a production of ThePodium.in, powered by Career Launcher. If you like this show, then we are sure that you will love our other shows on subjects like entrepreneurship, marketing, books, and drama. Check out ThePodium.in for a complete list of all our shows.